Shall we read together, please, in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. We'll read, if you please, the last clause of chapter 14. The last clause of chapter 14, and then on into chapter 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then drew near all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which needed no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go unto my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this, my son, was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he, answering, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, that hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, if you please, we'll keep our seats. It's a very hot night. We'll keep our seats and we'll sing together number 222. 222. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills, away far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. Keeping our seats, 2-2-2. One of the best known chapters in all the Bible, and well, it might be. We've heard it many of us from our childhood. I heard Mother tell us this story as early as I can remember, the story of the shepherd's love. I want to talk to you about it tonight. In our story, there are three parables in one. The parable of the shepherd with his 100 sheep, the parable of the woman with the 10 pieces of silver, and the parable of the father that had 2 sons, the prodigal and his brother. In the first story, we have a lost sheep returned. In the second story, we have a lost piece of silver regained. The woman regained her lost piece of silver. In the third story, we have the story of the prodigal son received. He'd gone away at the far country, and as he tramped back home all those weary miles, he was saying to himself, I wonder if my father will receive me. Blessed be God, he ran, fell on his neck and kissed him, received back to the father's mouth. So there's a story of a lost sheep returned. There's a story of a lost piece of silver regained. There's a story of a wandering son received, returned, regained, received. I want to talk to you, if you please, about these things. In the end of the 14th chapter, our Lord says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then all the publicans and sinners drew near for to hear him. All the publicans and sinners drew near to hear him. You know, the self-righteous priests and the haughty Pharisees and the lofty scribes, they thought they had no need for him, so they didn't draw near. But the poor down and out wasters, the publicans and the sinners, they said, well, we are sinners, we've got need of Christ, we'll come and hear him. And all the publicans and sinners drew near to hear him. You know, there are 2 kinds of people in Trimsaren tonight. There are those like the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests that said, oh, we are good. We're all right, lads. There's nothing wrong with us. We don't need the Saviour. And they don't come. On the other hand, there are those who know they're sinners. And they know they've grieved God and offended God. And they need God's forgiveness. And they need to be saved from the judgment of God that's coming one day. And so they draw near to hear him. Friends, which side are you on tonight? Do you know your need of Christ or do you not? You know, Christianity wasn't made for good men, it was made for sinners. The Bible says this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you say you're a good man or you're a good woman, and you've lived a good life, and you know you'll be alright for the future, well, we can do nothing for you. And I say it with reverence, God can do nothing for you. But if you know that you're a sinner, and you need God's forgiveness, and you want to get right with God, well, you're in the right place tonight. And we can show you by God's grace the way to get right with God. Then drew near all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, there are different kinds of sinners. There was a woman in chapter 7, they said she was a sinner. The Lord accepted the worship, the anointing with ointment from a woman that was a sinner. Now, she was a moral sinner. She was a woman in the city, a notorious woman. You wouldn't have liked to have been seen talking to her in the streets. She was a moral sinner, and the Lord forgave her. Then, in chapter 14, they said, this man receiveth sinners. It was the social sinners, the publicans and sinners that people wouldn't have anything to do with, the social sinners. Then, in chapter 18, there was a religious sinner. The publican, you know, he stood in the temple and he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the religious Pharisee said, this poor publican, what's he doing here? The religious sinner. And then, in chapter 19, there was a needy sinner, Zacchaeus. They said he's gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. Aye, that was right, but Zacchaeus knew he was a sinner, and he knew he needed God's salvation. There was the moral sinner of chapter 7. She was forgiven. There were the social sinners of chapter 14. They were forgiven. There was the religious sinner of chapter 18. He was forgiven. And there was the needy sinner of chapter 19. He was forgiven. Now, friends, what about you tonight? You're a sinner of some kind or another. You know, there are respectable sinners and disreputable sinners, educated sinners and illiterate sinners, big sinners and little sinners, open sinners and secret sinners, but we're all sinners. Every man jack of us. And we all need God's forgiveness. And Christ loves you tonight, friends. And Christ died for you. And he can forgive you. And he can save you forever. Well, now I want to talk to you tonight then about a sheep that was returned. And a piece of silver that was redeemed. And a son, a prodigal son, that was received. We read here that the Lord, in answering these Pharisees, he said, which of you having 100 sheep, and you lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and seek after that which is lost, till he found it? 100 sheep and he lose one. You know, God has millions of beings. I don't know how many millions, but millions and millions and millions. He has angel and archangel and cherubim and seraphim and principalities and powers and might and dominion. He has all the heavenly hierarchy. I don't know how many there are, but the Lord said on one occasion that he could call 12 legions of angels. And I'm sure that was only a fragment of them, only a phalanx of them. And God has these multitudes of beings, but he lost one poor sinner, and that is you and me. You say to that shepherd, but look here, man, hey, you've lost one sheep, you've got 99 of those left, you don't need to bother about that rascal that's gone away into the wilderness. Ah, but he says, it's mine, and he says, I love it, and I'm going after it till I find it. Oh, beloved, when I were the wandering sheep, and the Lord had all those millions of angels in glory, but he said, I'm going after the lost sheep down on the earth there, I'm going after them till I find. You know, friends, they're talking a great deal today about these, what do they call it, these planets and constellations and so on, and Mars and Jupiter and the moon and the stars and so on, and they're going to shoot a man to the moon. What they want him up there for, I don't know, but they're going to do all these things. But strangely enough, friends, men's interests are up there, but God's interest is down here. God said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's one of the inscrutable mysteries of God, that with all those millions and millions of celestial orbs, for some reason God set his interest on this world. I don't know why he did, but he did. He set his interest on this world. Oh, friends, isn't it wonderful? With all those millions of angelic beings, you and I tonight, you and I were the one lost sheep that went astray, and God loved us. Well, now, let's look at it. We can summarize it perhaps like this. That sheep, it was loved. He loved it. It was lost. He went astray. It went astray. He left his home for it. Left his home for it. He looked for it. He lifted it. He laid it on his shoulders. He led it home. And then he laughed over it. He said, rejoice with me, for I found the sheep was lost. His mouth was filled with holy laughter. Here then, we've got the epitome of that sheep. It was loved. It was lost. He left his home. He looked for it. He lifted it. He laid it on his shoulders. He led it home. And he laughed over it with holy rejoicing. Beloved, there's a wandering sheep, wandering amid the bracken and the gorse, wandering in the wadis and the ravines, wandering in the wild paths, wandering after this flower and that amusement, until it wanders far away from the shepherd, and it can't ever get back. Oh, friends, God's word says all we like sheep have gone astray. You and I have gone astray from God, and we can't ever get back. And if it's left to ourselves, we never, never, never can get back to God. You know, I'm one of those unfortunate people who have no sense of direction. I never can tell which way to go. And often I find myself lost, irretrievably lost, and I don't know how to get back. And I've got to get somebody to show me the way, or to lead me the way that's better still, back again. Well, you and I as sinners are lost away from God, and we never, never, never can get back of ourselves. Someone says, but wait a minute, Mr. Bell, that's a strong statement. You say that I'm a lost sinner. Well, friends, let me ask you tonight. You may never have done any very great overt acts. You may never have knocked a policeman down. You may never have robbed anybody's pocket. You may never have committed those dreadful moral sins that are so prevalent today. You may not have done those things, but listen. Has God filled your life? Have you been occupied every day with God? Have you walked with God in fellowship with Him? Why, no, of course you haven't. And you and I have committed the greatest sin of all. We've wandered away from God. Oh, I look back to years before I knew the Lord, when I hadn't a thought of God, when God didn't matter to me, when my life was spent away from Him. And that's the greatest sin I know, to turn your back upon God. And we've all done it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Well, that sheep was loved, but it was lost. Tonight, friends, God loves you. But if you're not converted, if you've never been to Calvary's cross and trusted Christ as Savior, you're lost and away from God. And you know, generally speaking, when a sheep gets lost, it can't find its way back. There are some times when it can, but generally, it's not able to find its way back. And friends, left to yourselves, you'll never, never, never find your way back to God. You know, many years ago, I was in Nottingham once, and in Nottingham there's a great big public sort of a square. And I heard some chaps up, one was preaching Seventh-day Adventism, one was preaching Russellism, one was preaching Mormonism, and I saw the people looking round and scratching their heads and saying, well, how can we know the way? And when these fellows had stopped, I got up on the sort of stone thing that is there, sort of stone pavement, and I said, friends, I'm just a stranger in Nottingham, I'm just a visitor. And after you've heard these fellows talking, you'll be wondering which is the way to heaven. But it's so simple. There's only one Christ. There's only one Calvary. There's only one Bible. There's only one finished work. And the Lord says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Oh, friends, tonight, lost in yourself, Christ wants to lead you home. Well then, thirdly, he left his home. He left his home. He left the 99 in the wilderness, and he left his home and went out to seek that one lost sheep. Oh, beloved, it was wonderful for that shepherd. Leaving his comfortable home, and perhaps there's a cup of tea there by the fireside, and there's a warm, roaring fire, and his wife are there and his children, and his wife says, Jack, don't go out tonight. It's a rough, tempestuous night. It's not fit for a dog to be out. But he says, there's a wandering sheep out on the hillside, and go I must. And I must go and I'll find that sheep and bring it back again. And there was the blessed Lord in glory, surrounded by all the angelic hierarchy, and heaven's a wonderful and lovely place. And if anybody had suggested to him, they never would up there, of course. But if anybody had suggested to him, Lord, don't go down to earth. Leave those rascals of earth to wander where they will. No, he says, they're away there. They've wandered from me, but I love them still. Love them in spite of all their wanderings. And I'll follow them and follow them and follow them till I've brought them back to me. And down to earth he comes to a barn in Nazareth, a stable there, and a horse's feeding box in Bethlehem, rather. And to a carpenter shop in Nazareth, to be despised and cast out in Gadara. To be hounded to death by the Pharisees and the Jews, to end his way through Gethsemane and the cross, and to go to Calvary, to bring you and me back to God. Oh, Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. And he followed in the tracks of the sheep, and he followed us all the way, and saw we'd wandered in sin, and he followed us down to Calvary. And there he stood on the beach and took our place. And he bore the wrath and the vengeance of God. And he died the just for the unjust. He bore the penalty of a holy God. And he went down to the grave for your sins and mine. For your sins and mine. And was buried and rose again. Oh, beloved, there was that sheep. He loved it. It was lost. He left his home for it. But fourthly, he looked for it. He looked for it. Oh, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for you. He's looking for you. Was there ever a time in your life when you were sick? And when you were sick, you thought about God. And you began to wonder if it was time to turn to God. Was there ever a time like that? Was there ever a time when you stood at the cemetery yonder and you buried a beloved child of your own? And you thought, what does this life mean? Is there anything beyond it? Is there an eternal life? And you stood beside that casket of your lifeless child. And there was a voice speaking to you to come and get right with God. Have you ever known a time in the riot of the pleasures of this life, all its amusements, all its occupations, when a deep voice within you was said in your heart, isn't there something better than this? Isn't there a life better? Oh, beloved, a hand all bruised and bleeding is knocking at the door. It's knocking at the door of your heart. It is the hand of Jesus, who long has knocked before, though oft you have told him to depart. Oh, don't you hear him knocking? Knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door to come in. He wants an invitation to cross your threshold, oh. Then Jesus will save you from all sin. He loved it. He lost it. He left his home for it. He looked for it. And then, oh, beloved, there it is. He found it down in a ravine there, with a broken leg, and its fleecy coat all dirty and defiled, and there it is, a dirty, wretched, worthless sheep. I say, shepherd, don't bother about that thing. It's only a miserable caricature of a sheep. Its wool is scarred and marred. It'll be no use. It has no commercial value. Its legs are broken. It's battered and bruised there, and it's down in the ravine. Why go stealing down those rocks to find it? Ah, but he says, for all it's done, I love it so. I love that sheep that's gone astray. And oh, friends, for all that you and I have gone far away into sin, although the Bible says we've gone out of the way, we're together becoming profitable, such is the love of Christ, that he loves us so. And he goes climbing down those rocks to where the sheep is lying, and he lifts it. Oh, friends, Christ can lift you tonight. Friends, is there anybody outside of Christ here tonight? Maybe you spend your life, I don't know where you spend it. Perhaps you spend it in the bingo. Perhaps you spend it with the television. Perhaps you spend it in the horse racing and the gambling and so on. Maybe there's some young people here that spends their life around these ice cream shops where you put a penny in the slot and it plays songs to you and all that sort of thing. Maybe that's your life. But oh, friends, there's a better life. There's a better life, a grander life, an exalted life. And the shepherd comes to that sheep and he lifts it. Friends, tonight, won't you let him lift you? Won't you let him lift? Oh, when I look at people careering about the world without a thought of God, I think if only they'd let the Lord Jesus Christ lift them out of it. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. You know, there was a young lad in our meeting, his name was Joe. And Joe was rather a simple lad, he hadn't much intelligence as far as this world goes. And Joe spent his days with the Sporting Man, that's a racing paper they have in the north of England. Joe spent his name picking out the winners in the Sporting Man and hanging around the bookmaker shops and doing tooting for bookmakers and all that kind of thing. One day Joe came to the gospel meeting and poor Joe never knew that anybody loved him. He never knew that anybody loved him. And he came to the gospel meeting and sat down and heard the message and he was touched by the love of Christ. And when you speak to Joe today, you say, Joe, what about the old days when you spent your days reading the Sporting Man and hanging about the bookmaker places and all that sort of thing? Oh, says Joe, it's all changed now. It's all changed now. That dark and seamy somber past us gone. And Joe, as I say, hasn't much intelligence, but he's got Christ. He's got Christ in his heart, and he lives to the praise and glory of the Lord. Oh, beloved friends, he lifted it. And then he laid it. He laid it on his shoulders. Friends, listen. That poor sheep, you know, it got home, and when it got back home, it said, bye. I was way down in the ravine there, but I picked myself up and scrappled myself together, and I came home by myself. No. It said the shepherd picked me up, and he picked me out the ditch where I'd fallen, and he put me on his shoulders, and he brought me home. Friends, do you think there'll be men in heaven, men and women in heaven saying, I've lived a good life, I was teetotal, I was upright, I kept the path, I did the best I could, and I'm here in glory? No, there'll be nobody singing that rubbish. They sing unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins in his blood and that made us kings and priests unto God. And he laid that sheep on his shoulders. Friends, you can never get to heaven by your works. You can never get to heaven by your own goodness. You can never get to heaven by your own self-righteousness. You can only get to heaven by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour. Christ died for you. He died for your sins. He suffered in your stead. And now God says if you'll only trust in him, he'll forgive your sins and he'll save you from judgment because Jesus died for you. And I'm depending for time and for eternity solely on the fact that Jesus died for me. And he laid it upon his shoulders. And then when he got it home, he laughed over it. He rejoiced over it. He called his friends and he said, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. You know, the psalmist says in the book of Psalms, that when the Lord brought again the captivity of Israel, then our mouths were filled with laughter. Friends, if you come back to Christ tonight, he'll laugh over you with pure joy. Sarah in the Old Testament said, God hath made me to laugh, and the Lord will laugh over you with pure joy. The prophet Nahum says he'll rest in his love. He'll joy over you with singing. I will make you to laugh. You know, men might laugh at you, but the Lord will laugh over you. Men might laugh with contempt, but the Lord will laugh with holy joy. He'll laugh that he's brought you back to himself. Aye, and he'll fill you with holy laughter. He'll fill you with the joy of the Lord forever. Now here's the story in that sheep then. Let's think of it. It was loved. It was lost. He left his home. He looked for it. He lifted it. He laid it. He led it. And he laughed over it. Isn't that your story tonight? Loved. Lost. But the shepherd left his home. And he looked for you. And he lifted you. And laid you on his shoulders. And led you home. And he's laughing over you with holy joy. Is that your story? If not, it can be tonight, friends. Why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, O then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Beloved, a sheep be turned. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 2, is it? He says, you were a sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Or will you return tonight? Come home to the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you so. But then, in the second parable, it's not a sheep returned, it's a piece of silver regained. It's a piece of silver regained. You know, the story of the silver is something like this. It was silver. It belonged to a set. It was 1 of 10. It was silver. It belonged to a set. The woman shone a light, and she swept, and she searched. And then finally we have her singing. It was silver. It was of a set. She shone. She swept. She searched. And then she sang over that piece of silver. First of all, then, it was a piece of silver. You know, the piece of silver was something precious. Oh, but you say, Mr. Bell, after what you've told us, that we are sinners, that we are rebels against God and we've gone astray, we can't be precious. Listen, friends, that silver was 1 of 10. You know, it was a dowry piece that a woman got in Palestine. When a woman got married, the husband gave her 10 pieces of silver, and that was the sort of the pledge of the marriage, like a wedding ring today, it was a seal of the marriage. Now, that woman wasn't complete without that one piece. You might say, but missus, you've got 10 pieces. Ah, but you've got 9 pieces rather. Ah, but she says, I had 10 at the beginning. And my wedding seal, as it were, is not complete without the 10th one. Beloved, listen, you're sitting in those seats. A vile, reprobate sinner. Forgive me saying it, but God says it's true. He says, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you have bruises and putrefying sores if you're outside of Christ. And yet, God loves you. And yet, God loves you. And he's not complete without you. And he's not complete without you. Did you ever read that story? We used to read it at school when I was a little boy, of the little girl who had a doll. She said, I once had a sweet little doll, dears, the prettiest doll in the world. And she goes on to say that her hair was most beautifully curled and so on. And she lost that little doll as she played on the heath one day. And then, a long time after, she says, I found that sweet little doll, dear. And she tells how the hair was all worn off, and it had been trampled upon, and the dog was all dirty, and the arms were broken. But she says, for old sake's sake, dears, she's still the prettiest doll in the world. Beloved, God made man, and he made him in his own likeness. But man became scarred and defiled by sin, and he went away from God. But God has never ceased to love him. And for all sake's sake, God loves him still, and God loves you tonight. And may I say it with reverence, friends, God wouldn't be complete without you. 10 pieces of silver was the marriage dowry, as it were. And if there was one missing, well, it was incomplete. And I tell you, friends, heaven won't be complete if you're not. And God won't be satisfied if you're not there. Come, friends, tonight God loves you. It was silver, and you're as precious as silver to him. It was one of a set. And God has prepared heaven for you, if only you'll accept it. You know, God never prepared hell for you. Matthew 25:25 says he prepared it for the devil and his angels. He never prepared it for you. And if you go to hell, it'll be your own fault. But God has prepared heaven for you if you're willing to come. It was silver. It was one of a set. And then this woman shone a light. Oh, beloved, God the Holy Spirit has shone a light. He's come a light in this world. The Lord Jesus, when he went to glory in John 16, he said, I'll send the Comforter, and he shall convince the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And God the Holy Spirit is shining a light today to lead you back to God. He's shining a light today to lead you back to God. Oh, beloved, away yonder over in Cumberland, when the train comes from Carlisle, away round the west coast of England, going down to Barrow and Furness, when you get near to Whitehaven, there's a place where there's a red light, and that red light is always there night and day. You see, why is it there? Many years ago, an engine was going down the line, an engine and a wagon behind, I think, and it came to this spot where the red light is, and the ground suddenly subsided. And the driver and the fireman jumped here, and the engine went right down into the earth, and it was never seen any more. The ground opened it up and swallowed it. Now then, the railway authorities, they put a red light there to mark that danger spot. And every time the train goes that way down to Whitehaven, it passes that place with a red light. Friends, this woman shone a light, and God has shone a light to warn you that you're going down to hell if you're outside of Christ. Oh, friends, God has put up a light to warn you. God has sent the Holy Spirit into this world to convince you of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. This woman then, she had silver, a piece of silver. It was one of a set, and she shone a light, and she swept. She swept all the dirt away to find the silver. Beloved, God has swept all the dirt away to find you. Christ died on the cross, and he bore away the sin of the world. Christ died on the cross, and he carried away the sin of the world that he might find you. Oh, beloved, he was once offered to bear the sins of many. This woman swept away the dirt to find the silver. And Christ bore away our sins that he might find you and bring us back to himself forever. She swept. She shone and she swept. And then she seized. She seized. She saw the silver and she seized it. Oh, friends, won't you let Christ to seize you tonight? Won't you let Christ seize you? Oh, won't you let him take hold of you tonight? You're whirling on, hurling on, bursting on, flying on into eternity. Won't you let him snatch you? Won't you let him snatch you from the wrath to come? Won't you let him snatch you from eternal ruin? You know, there were some boys catching birds' eggs one day on a cliff. And there was a precipice that they had to get across. And so they got a rope and they attached it to a tree. And they swung this rope and the boy tied it round himself and swung across the precipice to get the bird's egg. And then he turned back. But he let go of the rope. And the rope was swinging. And it was just swinging gradually towards him. And if he didn't catch it this time, it wouldn't swing back to him anymore. It was losing its momentum. It was losing its force. And it wouldn't swing to him anymore. And the boy, he dropped the egg and he dropped everything. And he grasped the rope. It was the last time. Friends, come, sinner, come. Salvation's free to all. It may be the last time you'll ever hear the call. The woman sees it. There's the last piece of silver. Oh, God loves you. Christ died for you. He wants to seize you tonight and make you his. She seized it, and then she called her neighbours together and she sang over it. Rejoice with me, for I found the peace that was lost. Friends, I wonder if they'll be singing in heaven tonight. I wonder if they'll be singing in glory because a man or a woman in Trimshaven have turned to Christ. Oh, here's the story of the silver. It was silver. It belonged to a set. She shone a light. She swept. She searched. She seized. And she sang over it. It was silver. It belonged to a set. She shone. She swept. She searched. She seized. And she sang about it. Oh, won't you let her be singing in glory tonight? Let the angels bear the tidings upward to the courts of heaven. Let them sing with holy rapture. Or another soul forgiven. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. There was a sheep that was returned. There was a piece of silver that was regained. But finally, there was a prodigal son who was received. We haven't time to go into this now, but just let me say this. Here was a young man, the second son of his father, and he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. It was the custom in those days of the law that if a son claimed his inheritance before his father died, he could do it. But if he claimed his inheritance before his father died, then he had no more claim upon his father. No more claim upon his father. Now the son said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You know, it's remarkable. In the beginning of this story, we find the son going away and he's saying, give me the portion of goods. A long time afterwards, we find him coming back and he's saying, make me is one of thy hired servants. He went away saying, give me. He came back saying, make me. Friends, there are so many people in the world today that want all God's gifts. They want all God's favours. Forgive me saying it, but they don't want God. Oh, friends, instead of saying to God, give me tonight, will he say, God, oh, Father, make me. Make me thine. Change me again. Transform me. Make me to be born again. And he went away from his father. Well now, his father had no claim upon him. And he went away from his father and he got degraded. He spent all. And the only job that he could get was a job of pig feeding. And that was hateful to a Jew, you know. First he went away spiritually, separated from his father. And then he went down morally. He's feeding the pigs there in the old pigsty. He's got down in the very scuffers of sin. Beloved, you and I, we've gone astray spiritually. We're dead to God if we're not saved. And we've gone away morally. We're sunk in the very depths of degradation. And spiritually departed, morally defiled. Spiritually disrupted and morally decadent. There he was. And when he got down at that condition, you know, It says he came to himself. There are two points in the story. It says he came to himself. That was conviction. And it says he came to his father. That was conversion. Oh, beloved, tonight will you come to yourself? Realize what fools you are to be outside of Christ. I'm putting it very bluntly, forgive me, friend, but the man that's outside of Christ, you know, he doesn't know what a fool he is. Will you come to yourself tonight and realize you're a lost, damned, doomed soul on the way to hell, and you need Christ tonight? And then will you come to your father? Come to God who wants to be your father. And say, Lord, I trust in the precious blood of Jesus. I claim the gift of the gospel. I claim the new birth. And I'm born again into thy family. Oh, you know, friends, away in the swineherd's country, it says, he began to be in want. He began to be in want. But when he came back to his father, it says they began to be merry. It was a new beginning. In the swineherd's country, he began to be in want. When he got back to his father, they began to be merry. Oh, friends, won't you turn to the Lord tonight? You'll have a new beginning. You'll be born again, because Jesus died for you, because he suffered on the cross for you, and shed his blood that you might be saved. And all the way from that far country, you know, it was a long, long way away, there's the son trudging home, and he's saying to himself, I wonder if Dad will receive me. Oh, I've been a waster. I took all Dad's money from him, and I repudiated my father, and I didn't want him anymore, and I didn't want my father in the home. Oh, I've been a scallywag, I've been a shameful wreck. And all the ways he's trudging those weary miles, he says, I wonder if my father have pity on me. I wonder if he will. Beloved, there's a story I like to tell. I often tell about it. There was a gentleman travelling in a train once, you know. And he noticed a young man on the other side of the carriage, and the young man was very uneasy. Finally he turned to this gentleman, he said, sir, will you do something for me? The gentleman said, what shall I do for you, sonny? Well, he said, I've been a scapegrace and a waster. And I went away from home and I've lived an awful life. And you know, he said, I've come to repent. And he said, I wrote home to my mother and the family, and I asked them if they'd take me back again. Now he said, our house is just outside the railway station. And I told them if they would have me back again, put a flag in the window. And if they wouldn't, well, I would just stay in the train and go on, and I would be no use coming home, and I'd just go on away down the line to some other place, and I wouldn't come home. Now he said, I'm too ashamed to look at the window in case there's no flag there. Sir, he said, when we get near the station, you'll see our house outside the station. Will you look and see if there's a flag in the window? Very well, said the gentleman, and they came puffing and blowing into the station, and the gentleman looked out. He said, sonny, flag, did you see a flag? Why, man, he said, the place is filled with flags. He said, there are flags on the roof, and flags on the chimney, and flags in the window, and flags on the door. There are flags all over. They'll put all the flags out, willing to have you back again. Oh, beloved, God has put the flags out tonight. He allowed Christ to be crucified. He sent him to die for you. And God raised him from the grave and set him in his own right hand. And God has adorned heaven with flags. And God has sent out all over the world the gospel message. And he's put a hall in trim siren tonight, friend. God has put the flags out everywhere to show that he's longing to have you back again. Oh, friends, won't you come? Won't you come? Come confessing that you're a sinner. Come trusting that Jesus died for you. Come saying, Lord, I'm just a sinner, but you died for me, and I trust in you as my Savior. And God will receive you back again. And there's the son trudging along the long road, you know. And when he gets somewhere near his father's territory, he's still a great way off. Oh. Who's this? There's an old man flying down the road there. He's coming, leaping along like a spring chicken. Who's this? An old man coming, flying down the road. Why? It's my father. And he's coming with a chopping axe to chop my head off. No, he's not. He's coming with open arms. And he fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, friends, if you'll come back to God tonight, he'll run to receive you. He'll throw his arms around you. He'll embrace you and forgive you. And he'll clothe you with the best robe of heaven. And he'll bring you into his house, and there'll be music and dancing, and there'll be a joy that will never end. Beloved, there isn't our portion tonight. There's a sheep that was returned. There's silver that was regained. And there's a son that was received. Tonight, will you return to God like the sheep? Will you allow him to regain you like the silver? You're his treasure, and he wants to regain you. And if he'll come tonight, he'll receive you like the prodigal son. Come to his arms tonight. Come to his loving embrace. Come to the heart that's willing to receive you. Christ has died and been buried and raised in God above. He's put every obstacle out of the way. And on the ground of the death of Christ, God says he'll take you in and save you. Oh, why not say yes to the Savior tonight? He's tenderly pleading with you to come to him now with thy sin-burdened heart for pardon so full and so free. Why not say yes tonight? Why he so gently, so tenderly pleads? Oh, accept him tonight. Will you come? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we pray?
O God, our Father, we thank thee indeed that thou didst love the sheep when it went astray. Thou didst love the silver when it was fallen. Thou didst love the prodigal when he was rebellious. And, O God, thou art yearning to forgive. Thou art longing to pardon. O God, our Father, if there's a child, a man, a woman, a boy or girl, an old person, anybody in this hall tonight who've never come to thee in repentance to be saved, Lord, save. O grant that they may come home. Grant that they may say, I will arise and go to my Father. Lord, we feel so helpless tonight. But though all the powers of hell are in opposition, thou art mightier than them all. And Lord, we pray that thou will beat down the obstacles, smash down the hindrances, and grant that nothing shall come between sinners and God in this hall tonight. O God, if there's a man or woman or in trim salmon in this hall outside of Christ, Lord, save them tonight. Grant that they may say, I will arise and go to my Father. And it's all through faith in thy beloved Son. We ask for the glory of his name. Shall we sing, please, number 267? 267. May I just say, friends, when we sing this hymn, the meeting will be over, and you're free to go. I'll not come down to the door and shake hands, because I'm troubled with my feet tonight, and I find it very difficult to stand. But there'll be somebody at the door, and if you want to be saved, speak to some brother at the door there, or some sister, and or come to the front and have a talk to me, and we'll gladly point you to Christ. We'll do anything. But remember, the Father, he's longing to receive you. If you'll only return and tell God that you trust in his Son, he'll save you forever. Shall we sing then? One there is who loves thee, waiting still for thee. Canst thou yet reject him? None so kind as he. Do not grieve him longer. Come and trust him now. He has waited all thy days. Why waitest thou? 267.